passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We are back, and we are glad you decided to stick around because we have a big-time hour ahead. It begins right now. Legend is next.
What's going on, my black hat brother? What's going on, brother?
Legend.
Man, Paul, I just have to go back to yesterday and look at part of the show, if that's okay with you.
That's fine.
Coach Feinbaum on the sideline sends his star quarterback legend into the game. Legend fades back and throws. Jason Kelce picks it off at the 50. Runs it all the way back for the touchdown. Coach Feinbaum looking like Coach Freeze on the sideline, down by 20 to LSU. He sends in another play. His star quarterback fades back, throws a pass for Squirrel. Jason Kelce steps in front of it and takes it in for another pick six. Coach Feinbaum on the sideline looking like Coach Dumbo on his headset. Evil Knievel, Petrino, Knievel, where you at? Paul, why you let your star quarterback go down like that?
Now, Legend, if you go back to that conversation, you said Jason Kelce, and you remember me saying, Jason Kelce, question mark?
Well, you're the underboss of the Black Hat Mafia. Next time, slap the hell out of me.
Well, I should have, but as the old saying goes, I didn't want to get in the way of a good call.
Well, I know who the damn tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs is, Travis Swift. Everybody knows who he is. He knows who he is. And you still make me sick, Travis Swift. You make me sick. Your brother's soup commercials are just as bad. Stay off the damn television and play football. So, Paul, let me get this right. I was noticing on social media that the South Carolina Gamecocks have formed an army and about to burn you out of Charlotte.
Yeah, I was. I'm glad you mentioned that. I was starting to call you. I've been catching a little shrapnel from C-Town.
Yep. The Black Hat Mafia was notified. So let me get this right. Coach Beamer got mad, pitched a temper tantrum, and kicked something and broke his foot. Is that about right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was like after the press conference, because he was okay then. I'm guessing he walked back in there, the Gatorade tank or whatever they call it. By the way, if he had done it during the game, I would have respected it, wouldn't you?
Hell yeah. I mean, what an idiot. What a complete idiot.
I didn't even mind him doing it. I minded his namby-pamby response.
I mean, come on, Paul. You're going to break your foot, break it off in your secondary coach's ass.
Yeah.
You need to break it off.
Hey, Legend, a question here. Had you been the head coach at Alabama a year ago this weekend, and the game had ended against Tennessee, you would have broken more than your foot on Pete Golding, would you not have?
I would have strangled him. The state trooper would have had to get me off of him at mid-season. Well, let's look at Shane Beamer's record for a minute. 2 wins, 1 change crew hot dog eating problem, 1 broken foot due to anger. Hell yeah, Feinbaum came after y'all old garbage-ass team and garbage-ass coach. I bet Cock Mason's standing proud today. What a SEC fraud right there, Paul. And hey, Paul, let me tell you something funny about primetime and how bad a betting weekend I had last weekend. When it was 29-0 at halftime, I went on my bookie and took Colorado -6 for the second half.
Oh, my goodness.
I could have got Stafford for the game at +3,000. I mean, come on. I say this. I love primetime because he's a bad loser like me. I like that about him. Threw everybody under the bus but himself. I like that about primetime. But, I mean, that was kind of a joke to me. That might hurt him when it comes to getting a big-time job. That came off as a clown show right there. Hey, Paul, Heather Dennis finally said it, baby. Somebody finally said it. I love you, Heather. some amazing games coming up. Who the hell are the amazing games that Georgia got coming up? They put Oklahoma back on the schedule.
I thought I saw you on eBay buying a Heather Dinich poster today.
Hell yeah, I know you, baby. Somebody finally said it. Heather, baby. Woo! Black Cat girl right there finally said it. Beat one team, one Division I team with a winning record. That's shameful. Let me tell you something, Georgia, before I get off here. You are the Travis Swift of the SEC. And let me tell you this. If you had Alabama's schedule, you losers already have two losses. Legend has left the building.
James is up next in Georgia.
What's up, Paul? Thank you so much for letting me on your show. This is my third time on the show.
Great.
And I really appreciate you and everything, your contribution to the coverage of this great sport.
Thank you.
First of all, I want to say to Legend, hush your mouth. hush your mouth, Legend. You're done. Give Nick Saban an AARP plan. It's over with. And there's a new sheriff in town, just like I told you last year about Malachi Starks. Go Dawgs. We're coming for a three-peat. First, and here's what I want to talk about today real quick. Forget him. I want to talk about Carson Beck. Talk about Carson Beck and how do you think he's going to over him and the Georgia offense are going to overcome this detrimental loss of Brock Bowers?
I don't know. I think it's going to be dangerous because, you know, you can't do this, but I'm going to. Let's take the Auburn game. You take Brock Bowers out of there, Auburn's going to beat Georgia in Jordan-Hare Stadium.
You're right. They I give you that, but
I mean, nobody argues that Georgia has talent. I mean, that's self-explanatory.
I'm going to tell you something.
He's different.
I'm going to tell you. Yeah, you're right. You are correct. You're right. But what I need for America to hear, who I really talking to is I'm talking to Mike Bobo. Bobo, you have Todd Monken's old playbook. Mix it in with what you got now. Call some less unpredictable running plays, and let's pass the ball around. Let's ball out. All I need for you to do is do that, and the Dawgs are going to do it because that defense is going to do it. Malachi Starks back there, he ain't playing. Lassiter ain't playing. I need Kirby to get that other side cornerback good, and they're going to be a dangerous team. And let's get a little healthy.
Great stuff. Dolphins. Thank you very, very much. Special K is up next.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure talking to you again, Paul Feinbaum.
My pleasure.
My grandfather was named Paul. I don't know if I told you that or not. So I hate all these people putting you down, man. How can they put you down? But anyway, I'm an 11-time caller. I appreciate you catching my call.
Sure.
Well, UK's got to buy. I'm a big Kentucky fan, and UK's got to buy this week. They're going to play your Vols, and hopefully they'll show up in 2 weeks, but I appreciate you. But I'm the guy that turned down the dinner date with Liz Taylor, and I went to college with Nick Saban, ate in my dorm, and your call screener asked me, how much did we raise on that telethon when I turned down that dinner date? I think it was $400,000 that night.
I'm not sure I wouldn't have pilfered the money for a date with Liz Taylor back in the day.
Now, come on. I didn't make the money. I made the money, but I didn't make the money. It was my job. It was a 16-hour telethon. I did it 5 times, so I lose track of all the money we made for Lexington.
But Special K, don't you think it would have been a better story the rest of your life to say, I ended up spending the night with Liz Taylor as opposed to I gave up an opportunity for a date with her?
There were 14 people in the entourage. I don't think I had a chance. Okay. I was drinking Diet Cokes before I went on the air. But you had a little Bear Bryant montage. Real quick.
Richard Burton told me you didn't miss anything.
Yeah. Oh, come on now. Anyway, you had a montage on Bear Bryant. Real quick story. Alabama's playing Kentucky. Back in the 80s, we almost beat them, and they ran back a punt right at the end, and they won. And Bear Bryant was not a happy camper. And I was a TV guy, but I wasn't working that night, and I walked on. I shook his hand, and he got on the bus, and he was looking over his stat sheet, and the driver said, okay, go ahead. And I shook his hand, It was a big hand. It was his I think his hand was bigger than Muhammad Ali's hand. I shook his hand in Times Square. I'm just full of stories.
Bear didn't have hands. He had paws.
Well, that's how big it was. It was it was a very large right hand. But real quick, Legend, I love him. I hope he keeps on keeping on. And he always leaves the building, but I'm gonna sing it out. I just want to be your teddy bear. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Elvis has left the building for the final time. We will take a short break. Back with more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back here as we begin to head toward the hills on a Wednesday night. I-Man is up next.
Well, good afternoon there, Paul Feinbaum. How's it going?
Great. Thank you.
You know, I knew that. I just knew that you was going to say it. I'm doing great. Thank you. I mean, and can you hear me, Paul? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Are you using a real phone or a fake phone?
I didn't get an iPhone, you know, one of those free ones like Legend did, you know, wrapped in titanium. Oh, he was so proud of that damn phone. Got me a new iPhone, you know, titanium, with a damn 2-cent piece of glass on front of it. But it was free. I mean, who's counting, right? You know, I was listening to this last guy call, and he said, you know, long-time listener, 11-time caller. and all 11 times, you know, I'm the guy that gave up the date with Elizabeth Taylor.
I feel like I know that story by now, don't you?
Yeah, I do too. And so while you was on break there, I did the math, and there's 365 days a year, less the weekends. So that's about 335 times 20, which is about 6,700 phone calls that I've made. And I didn't give up a date with Elizabeth Taylor. I'm like you. I'd have went even if there's 20 other people. I'd have elbowed their asses out of the way. I mean, why not? I mean, what you going to do?
My question is this. I mean, do you think that telethon could have gone on without, you know, with him showing up a couple hours late?
Somebody's got to spin the wheel and say, come on down. We need you. Call 1-800. Look at that. And then point to all the people over there.
You're missing the most important fact. The guy used to be in TV.
He used to be in TV.
He's got the mentality of a local TV person.
And an 11-time caller. I don't know what captured my attention about that, but 11 times. And it was great to hear from Bama Nick yesterday, wasn't it?
Oh, wasn't it?
Don't even say nothing. I mean, I'm
he's
like,
the best,
you, what,
he's the best. He's the best caller on the Tuscaloosa afternoon show.
Is that the B team?
By the way, I don't know the show very well. I would be willing to bet my salary and yours, he's not the best caller on that show.
I'd probably agree with that. But you know, he does have like 4 bedrooms and 2 bath house.
He does?
I mean,
I didn't know that.
you know, he said that one day when he was hollering at Mama to come watch him because he's on TV.
I think the most important thing on this show is to let everybody know how big your house is.
That's right. I got a big house. I got 4 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms.
I got 3 bedrooms and no bathrooms.
That's right. And you can go out in the backyard and pee off the porch if
you
want to.
We use the construction one.
And I was talking to Squirrel last night, and Squirrel brought up a great point that he likes it when people come in and rate themselves as caller. And of course, Nick, he's in the top 20. He's the best caller in the state of Alabama, so that's got to get him to the top 20. I mean, when does he realize you're just a caller to the show? You're not number 1. You're not number 2. You're not number 17 or 55. You're just a caller to
just
the Paul Feinbaum
Show. Just a singer in a rock and roll band.
That's right. Just a singer in a rock and roll band. And if you call Charlie Watts in the morning, he'll come down, he'll get his suit on, he'll come down and punch your ass out and say, you're the singer in my band. That was a great story about old Charlie. But, I don't have like 5 hot takes or you know, I don't have to give out any black hats or white hats or anything like that. I'm just a caller to the show. And what was Miss Pat talking about her feet with Squirrel?
Squirrel was talking about her. I probably know more about that than I should because I saw something today where I think Squirrel went after her on Twitter. I'm not sure she's read it.
Imagine that. Now, Charles from Real Time, he was the foot guy. You remember, he loved a pair of feet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I remember the...
Yeah, he sure did.
Yeah, he... Didn't he ask to see Laura Rutledge's feet?
I think that's right, if memory serves me correct.
You wonder why he's no longer on the show.
He's out there punching out cows and giving out country boy ass whippings and looking at other women's feet.
That will eventually wear you out.
That will do it. I mean, you know, Paul, what do you think Darren's thinking right now? You know, the caller just raising hell about people getting in at the 5 o'clock hour.
Oh.
And, I mean, do you think he's turned the radio off, or is he?
I think so.
Is he pointing at it?
I think he's upset with
and
us.
Waving his arms. I mean, when you listen to these phone calls, can you picture some of these people walking around the room with their arms in the air and bending over like they're preaching and talking and those kind of things? Or do you picture
well,
him just
the
kind
guy,
of calmly sitting there?
Was it? I guess it was AC. There's somebody else that got so agitated during a call that you finally couldn't hear it any longer.
Yep. Well, listen, Paul, as always, War Damn Eagle. And how about them Tennessee Vols? You know, I think Tennessee Vols are going to just whip that ass come Saturday. And when that happens, is that going to be the end of the dynasty? I mean, we're watching it die slowly. And by the way, I've got some famous fried chicken recipe and family potato salad that I'll share with you. You bring one to the wake and I bring the other, because the dynasty is slowly dying in front of us. I mean, it's on hospice right now. War Damn Eagle, have a good day.
Cat Daddy is up next.
Big Paul, I got people coming in that are looking stoned. By the way, you sound good, look good as always. But I got people coming in the liquor store and asking me the ESPN opening to that game day don't seem to be the same. They don't see Big Kenny and
yeah, they
Rich.
Change, apparently they changed the – what is this? Oh, Big and Rich used to do it, and the contract ran out, and I don't know who does it now.
All right, well, I just wanted
guessing,
to –
I'm guessing Pat McAfee's house band.
Well, I don't know. I don't like that Pat McAfee. I'm telling you what. I know they're grooming him to be Lee Corso's replacement, but that's like replacing Joe Biden with Joe Biden. Thank you very much.
Hey, by the way, Cat Daddy, you're not going to like what I'm about to tell you. But
go ahead.
Part of one of the guys doing the song is Darius Rucker. He's one of your guys.
Well, I like
guys.
Darius Rucker.
He's one of your South
Carolina. I like
Carolina.
Darius Rucker.
Well, he's singing
I
the song.
I love Darius.
Yeah, well, he's the one sitting. He's the one you're complaining about.
No, Darius is a good man. I love him. I'm not complaining about him. My wife was just asking me how come the video had changed.
Okay.
That's all I'm trying to ask.
I did a couple of years ago. I came down to Columbia and hung out with Darius. It was really fun.
He's a good dude.
We did a special on him for the SEC Network, and I got a chance to hang out with him and the guys that were part of Hootie.
Yes, sir. I saw that, and it was a great, great, great show. You did a good job.
Well,
I have no problem with Darius Rucker.
Hey, Cat Daddy, have you seen Shane Beamer around the store lately trying to ease the pain?
Well, when I did see him, he was limping.
So what are people saying in the store about what happened to Shane's foot?
Well, Mr. Feinbaum, I got to tell you, as I said this a couple of days ago on your show, we beat Clemson, we beat Tennessee, we're expecting a great year, and here we are. This is just so typical of South Carolina. I mean, I hate to say that, please. Wipe that from my mouth, Lord. But this is just typical. We go from great to not great. You understand that?
Oh,
I do.
No, I also think it makes South Carolina unique, where the fans don't cannibalize the coach after a loss.
Well, I'm telling you what, they cannibalize him now. I guarantee.
He better not lose this week.
Oh, if he loses this week, I'm gonna rent. I'm going to give him my van to get out of town.
Ricky is up next. Hey, Ricky.
How you doing, Paul?
Hey there.
Yeah, old Cat did. I love that guy. Hey, Paul. Well, you know, we play the Hogs this weekend. And
yes, sir.
I'm looking to get rooted up, bro. You know,
I got bad news for you, Ricky. You're picking a bad time to play the Hogs.
Yeah, you know, you don't fool with a hog when they're mad, right? You know what I'm saying?
Angry Razorback.
Yeah, they can cut you up pretty good. But I'm gonna give them a mugging this year. I really don't think the state is gonna win not one SEC game this year. I don't see it in the cards, but I'm gonna give them a mugging because you know, new coach, new system, and I really kind of feel for Will Rogers. But I do wonder, Paul, about Will, though. I wonder, being in that system all his life, I wonder, did that hamper him in it? Because you don't read defense because you're kind of playing the same. Because a defense is going to play that type of offense, you know, that drop eight, you know. And I don't know if he's able to, you know, he's having a hard time adjusting because he's going to see more defenses now. You know, so I don't know if that's the problem with him, but, you know, adjusting to a new system. Because, I mean, I don't know. Because, you know, with Mike Leach, all he had to do was find open grass. You know, you don't worry about the defense too much. Or you just find your receiver and throw it to him. But now you have to read defenses. And, of course, having a different scheme, you know, I just wonder, is that part of the problem with him? But and what is his plan in the future? He's not the most athletic quarterback, you know. So you have to make that up with accuracy and smarts and reading defense and anticipation. So
no, it's a good point.
I don't know what the future holds for him.
It's really been too bad because he's such a great player.
He's a nice young man. You could tell he got real good core values, and I just kind of hate it for him. And you know, I don't know I don't know if he's done with football after this year or what. But like I said, I'm gonna give Arnett a mulligan because he's got to learn to be a head coach. You know, he don't know.
Never seen a coach, Ricky, who had a worse trend. I mean, they just threw him that hot potato. Hey, thank you for the call. We're heading to a break. 30 minutes remaining here on a Wednesday.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back. Final 30 minutes, and Squirrel is next.
You know, I'm headed to Knoxville tomorrow because if I don't go to the Tennessee-Alabama game, I like to watch the game with Tennessee alumni so I can see the pain in their eyes face to face. So, but I feel like I need to address this, all these squirrel attacks that you've been getting on air here lately. I don't know what Miss Madame Musil's problem is, but you know, she comes on here like Miss Pure and Innocent, and that catty old bitty, I'm sitting there minding my business last night. I look on Twitter and I got like 20 notifications, and her and J.A. from Pell City had a little chain going about how, you know, terrible Squirrel was. And all I did is respond, and then this old biddy gets on here and whines. But thanks for proving my point, Ms. Pat. Thanks for taking my call. Aloha.
Yeah, I happened to see that. That was quite a response you had there. Well, you mentioned the guy J.A. I don't know what that stands for, but A.J. is next.
It's a jack of all trades. And one of them's crushing a squirrel real quick. Like, let me tell you something, squirrel. You know, I was going a different direction with my call today, and hopefully I can get to it. But right now I'm going to spend my time on your little jaws packed full of nuts, squirrel. It ain't about you. You don't play the game right. Well, your tendency to be like Jim, because you get your little feelings hurt. And if you're going to carry your feelings out here on the field, you're going to get them hurt. That's the bottom line. You can talk about my voice and whether I'm going to drop my left nut like you did on Twitter. My left nut ain't going to drop until you open your mouth and let it fall out. So let me tell you something, but I'm going to move on to something.
Okay.
Deion Sanders, the the topic of discussion all through early in the year, Paul. Did I not get on here and you, Paul, personally belittled me verbally over me saying
I heard hate. I heard a lot of other things that I don't even want to care to bring up. That you just seem to have an obsession with Deion being successful.
Basically, I was crazy because I didn't want Auburn didn't want Deion Sanders. And now, all of a sudden, we see that we didn't want Deion Sanders. I mean, yes, we suck right now. I mean, it's a bad situation. But, hey, the thing about it is I'd like to have his quarterback and his wide receiver and Travis Hunter and play both sides of the ball, yeah. But the thing about it is we didn't want Deion Sanders. Colorado don't want Deion Sanders. And I can tell you this. The Feinbaum Show don't want squirrels punk ass calling War Damn Eagle.
Anthony is up next. So hello, Anthony.
Hey there. How you doing, Paul?
Hey there.
Hey, I just got a question for you. I know they always talk about Georgia and their schedule, but I never really hear anybody talking about Michigan's schedule. And how does that play in with the strength of schedule?
Well, Michigan's non-conference schedule has been dreadful. However, it's East Carolina, UNLV, and Bowling Green. I mean, you can't come up with three worse opponents. However, they have dominated every team, but they haven't played a good team yet. I mean, they literally have not played a legitimately mediocre team yet.
Right.
The conference schedule is as weak as they essentially have two games and a road trip to Maryland, which at least is a better than average team. I think they're really good. They've got a great quarterback. They've got really strong offensive line. They've got running backs that nobody else has, but they've got Ohio State at home. But I have no earthly idea about that school.
Okay, thanks, Paul. I appreciate
that. Thank you
very much.
I appreciate it. Yeah, but to make fun of Georgia, I mean, Heather today, I hate to keep beating up on her, but, I mean, to put Georgia outside the top four because of schedule, when they've already played a top 25 team in Kentucky and destroyed them, and put Michigan in there, hard to come up with a logic there. Bubba is up next. Hello, Bubba.
Hey, Bubba, what's going on, bud?
We are doing great.
Man, we share something in common. I'm going to get to it here in just a minute. We both former Memphis boys.
Yes, sir.
Now, I hear you graduated from Christian Brothers. Is that correct?
I went there, yeah.
Did you graduate from there or White
Station?
No,
I did not. I had to leave there midway through and ended up going to White Station.
Oh, okay. Now, did you play football for Tom Nix?
I knew Tom Nix very well. But I did not play for him.
But did you play football for him?
No, I didn't. I wish I could have.
Well, I grew up in Shelby County. I wasn't a city boy. Say I lived out in the suburbs. I grew up listening to Jack Eaton call basketball and football and eating Shakey's Pizza down on Summer.
Oh, my goodness, Shakey. Hey, Bob, did you play for Tom?
Do what now?
Did you play for Tom?
No, I didn't. I played out in the county. Matter of fact, one of my high school coaches was on the Hillcrest team in 74 with Ken Netherland
that
whooped up on Christian Brothers the first game of the year.
Yeah, Tom, I got to know him very well and occasionally would see him later on. He was one of the – he died a couple of years ago. And
yeah, he was a legend in Shelby County.
Yeah, I mean, he really was the personification of the great high school football coach that – a million years later, people still remember and cherish.
Absolutely. And my question to you is, and I'm a Tennessee fan, and it's Alabama week, and I thank God for Alabama because, the toothbrush was invented in Alabama because anywhere else it would have been a teeth brush. But I'm going to ask you a Memphis question. What's it going to take for Memphis to get in a Power 5 conference?
You know what? I'm glad you mentioned that because I happened to be in Memphis in April. I spoke at the Touchdown Club there, and the mayor was there. Got a chance to talk to him and a lot of Memphis officials. about that very subject. And I think it was really criminal that the Big 12 did not invite Memphis. This is a program that has proven itself, as you know, because you're there. And I really don't have a good answer, because I have argued and campaigned vigorously for Memphis over the years. And I think that window closed for them right now. I hope it opens up again soon. We'll take a short break. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.